Closing Mark Report, it's March 17th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, farm state lawmakers are hoping to use the congressional recess to settle disagreements over the farm bill. Colin Peterson wants to change the definition of a farmer. And it looks like the Fed will cut the prime rate again. This time it may be a very big cut. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. And then I'll tell you why the high price of commodities should make it easier for negotiators to settle a world trade agreement. Hey, don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour on Monday, we always check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast right here on the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago today, futures were down the limit across the grains and oilseeds floor. March contract or May contract in the wheat at $11.80, 60 lower. July down 60 at 11.64, and September futures at 11.40, down 60 for the day. December contract in the wheat at $11.48, finished 60 cents lower. That's actually the opening prices. 11.91.5 was the finished, down 60. July at 11.62, September at 11.85, December at 11.84.5, and the May futures, the July of the following year at 10.81.5. Oh, I just don't have the numbers at all in front of me. Give me a moment. Here's the way the numbers finished. 11.31.5 in the May, July at 11.02, September 11.25, December at 11.24.5, and the July of next year at 10.22.5. Corn futures down 20 cents. The limit across the board, 5.39.25, 5.51.25 in the July, September at 5.53.25, and December contract at 5.55, March at 5.63, down 20. May soybeans at 13.02. They were down 50 for the day, and 0.75 cents, 13.02¾. July at 13.18¾, down 50. And the August at 13.11, down 50 as well. November beans at $12.29, finished the day 50 cents lower. That for the soybeans. Soybean meal futures at 323.80, down 20 for the day. July down 20 cents as well, which is a limit move at 329.80. And May bean oil at 58.56, down 2. July futures down 2 at 59.32. Over at the Mercantile Exchange for the livestock, the numbers finished like this. April live cattle, 89.22.5, down $1.27.5. June down 97.5 at 89.97.5. And the March feeder cattle finished at $99.10, down 20 cents. April futures down 80 cents at 101.70. April lean hog futures at 55.92.5, 90 cents lower. And the May futures at 66.35 today, down or rather up 70 cents. That April contract in lean hogs, by the way, was up 90 cents. Those are the only couple of gainers in the agricultural outlook for this day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. Not much better than what happened in Chicago at the Board of Trade. Flood watches have been issued for all of the Illinois south of Interstate 80 and much of Indiana. The watches are already in effect for west central Illinois and not set to expire in eastern Indiana until Wednesday evening. Tonight in the south, showers and so a few stray thunderstorms arriving. Elsewhere, showers and thunderstorms with areas of heavy rain. Lows will range from 36 in northeastern Indiana to around 60 in the far southern parts of Illinois. Tuesday in northwestern Illinois, showers, a few thunderstorms. They'll become less numerous during the afternoon. Elsewhere, showers and thunderstorms with locally heavy rain. Highs will range from 40 in northwestern Illinois to near 70 in the far south. Rainfall totals are expected to range between 1 and 4 inches, with local amounts exceeding 5 inches. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Lernard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
On the line with us this afternoon during the closing market report to take a look at what happened at the futures in Chicago is Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grain analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Boy, what an ugly day. How did it all start to fall apart and when?
Well, basically, in the overnight trade, actually overnight grains were a little higher there for a while, but as the evening, early morning hours materialized, fallout from the outside financial world with Bear Stearns and their situation they're in pretty well put jitters into the marketplace. Also, too, we saw the Asian vegetable oil, palm oil market on the defensive, which sort of spilled over into our marketplace. But kind of a meltdown, per se. There's concerns about the stability of the funds as far as the bigger players go, but two, we started getting some technical sell signals, and the shorter-term trading funds have generated some selling interest from sell programs kicking in, and with a lack of buyers underneath the marketplace, it sort of collapsed on itself and sort of kept the market on the defensive. And for the first time in a long time, we see grain or the agricultural products all limit down clear across the board. As far as this evening's trade goes, the May corns expected to open about 5 to 7 lower. East corn about a dime lower. These May beans could be 50 lower, and the November beans anywhere from 10 to 15 lower. Wheat's expected to be 10 lower in the front, and the July wheat's expected to be about 10 to 15 lower. So there is going to be some follow-through selling this evening. Imagine open interest is going to decline on this break-in here. And when you look at the overall long positions from the funds, that's probably going to get smaller as time goes on, Todd.
As I was reminded by one of our subscribers to the newsletter over the weekend from Alabama, actually, and he listens to the closing or to Commodity Week. We didn't talk about crop insurance on that day simply because normally the day is the 15th of March, and it is. That would have been Saturday, but today is actually the last sign-up day for this year, though March 15 is still considered the normal ending day for crop insurance. Producer's been calling you and saying, hey, I forgot to sign up. What do I do?
Wow, we've not had any of those calls, but I'm sure there could be a few that forgot, and a few just threw their hands up in the air saying they just don't know what to do. But probably the number one priority is risk management at this point, whether it's through crop insurance or some type of marketing strategy. That's probably the key, because at these price levels, they're still fairly attractive. I know we're a little ways off the highs, but for the most part, when you plug in today's values and what your costs are, it still produces a handsome return. So whether it's crop insurance or good old-fashioned grain marketing, we feel action needs to be taking place here over the near term.
So crop insurance still have a couple hours to get that taken care of today if you'd like to. But what should they be doing in terms of options at this point or other types of risk management strategies if they haven't done anything yet?
Well, there are several things you can do. It just depends on your comfort zone. Everybody's different. Probably the simplest thing you could do as a producer is the same theme we've been promoting for the last 6 months, is just to buy a put option to put a floor under you. That leaves your upside open. That way, if we do go higher, you can sell your crash grain higher and take advantage of a higher move. If the market goes lower, you've got some downside coverage. If you're happy with these prices, we've had guys just go ahead and forward contract, if the elevator is willing to work with you on it, or hedge it and market it and lock it in, then buy a call option to replace it on paper. So if these beans run on up to $20, $30, $40 this summer, corn on up to $8, $9, $10, $12 this summer, you can participate on paper and recoup a little bit that way. So those are the two basic simple strategies to use, either put a floor under you or else move your grain and buy a call and replace it that way. That will enable a guy to sleep at night. There's some more fancier strategies. It requires a good banker to stand behind you, which is a little bit more hectic, that will protect you penny for penny. But that would probably be for the ones that like to see a little bit more price risk.
Barring a weather catastrophe at this point, and given a normal cropping year, is the top end?
Technically, on the beans, and even fundamentally, we're concerned with the bean chart and fundamental outlook. Fundamentally, we're concerned about large bean acres, much larger than what the trade's looking at. South American crop coming online here. Feel that the trade's pretty well booked up or forward up priced a lot of their bean needs, and the weaker vegetable oil market, so the bean fundamentals are weak. If you look at a simple price chart, just a daily chart, you'll notice that when we broke, then we came up. We broke, we came up. Well, this time we broke, we came up, and then we went below the previous lows on that first break here last week. And so, in a long story short, we're making lower highs and lower lows, which tells me the trend's turning lower. And we've seen the funds, the shorter-term funds, following the shorter-term moving average, turn to the sell side. So the bean trend is lower here. We've got some cycle lows due towards the end of the month in here. So the beans could be the concern here for a while. While corn, until we go down and take out the low here last week, we consider corn still is a valuable commodity here. As we see corn acres being smaller than the trade's looking for, then, too, if you look outside your window, it's going to be a while before corn activity or groundwork takes place. And as this wet weather pattern continues, not through the Midwest but the southern growing regions, we could start to be the one to see corn acreage on the decline in some areas.
And I suppose you can see that in the moving averages, corn in the harvest month below the 10 and the 20 today, but, well, still well above the 50-day, but if you look at the harvest month for the soybeans, they closed below the 10 and the 20 quite some time ago and broke below the 50 and just wailed below that today.
Exactly, just off. When the red line turns down and the green line turns up.
Indeed. So any final bit of advice before I let you go for the afternoon?
Well, it's an emotional market. It's going to be dramatic. This is the worst fear starting to come true here. We're sort of in a liquidation meltdown phase in here. So it warrants having a plan and sticking to it.
Thank you much.
Very good.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He is the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Dave Dickey is here now. He'll help us take a complete look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, farm state lawmakers are hoping to use a two-week congressional recess to settle farm bill disagreements over jurisdiction, farm policy, and finance. Key lawmakers say they will wait at least a week to strike an agreement on writing a bill that contains $10 billion in extra funding. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson says talks this past Friday gave him, quote, some glimmer of hope that legislators are going to resolve fights over how to find $10 billion in offsets and who will have jurisdictional control over the money.
If we don't have this wrapped up by the first week that we come back here, we won't get the bill done. So, I mean, we have to get this done over the next 2 weeks.
Meanwhile, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi continues to delay naming conferees until there is a rock-solid agreement on the farm bill. Farm bill negotiators say if the $10 billion funding question is not resolved in a week, they will develop a bill using the original baseline funding level, $280 billion over 5 years. Meanwhile, Peterson continues to press for a change in how USDA defines a farmer. Peterson says the new farm bill must raise the dollar value in sales a farmer needs to be included in the census of agriculture. And he wants to end crop subsidies to landowners and farmers with fewer than 20 acres that qualify for government payment. Under current law, the Census of Agriculture counts all farmers with sales of $1,000 or more. Peterson is calling for a $10,000 benchmark. Analysts are now projecting that it's likely the Federal Reserve will cut its short-term interest rate by a full percentage point at its monthly meeting tomorrow. Sunday night, the Fed announced an emergency cut in its discount rate from 3.5% to 3.25%. Over the past 6 months, the Fed has cut the prime rate by 2.25%. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin is co-sponsoring an amendment to the fiscal year 2009 budget that would create a reserve fund to expand Food and Drug and USDA food inspection services, including enhanced FDA recall authority and improved surveillance and testing technologies. Durbin says the U.S. must do a better job to improve food safety. And DuPont Company slightly raised its quarterly earnings forecast. DuPont officials say strong agricultural product sales are expected to outweigh rising costs and the impact of the weak U.S. auto and housing markets. DuPont projects first quarter earnings at $1.14 to $1.19 a share, up from $1.12 to $1.17. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website, the address, of course, willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, up next, the high price of commodities should make it easier to cut a deal on the world stage. I'll have more on the WTO negotiations. An agricultural policy expert at the University of Illinois has been watching the price of commodities climb higher with great interest. Bob Thompson says it should make it easier for U.S. and European negotiators to hammer out a WTO or World Trade Organization deal. There are some very simple reasons why.
The European Union has actually taken off the import duties on a lot of products to avoid the increase in, or as much increase in their internal price of imported agricultural products as would otherwise have taken place. And with these high grain and oilseed prices, the market prices are above the targets and loans in both the House and the Senate Farm Bill on everything but cotton. And so it should be real easy for the U.S. and EU both to say, hey, these policies aren't having any effect today. We ought to be able to reduce the caps. And, of course, the biggest reduction issue that's being discussed in the WTO ag trade negotiations is not to reduce agricultural subsidies overall, but to reduce those subsidies that are linked to the production of specific commodities.
In fact, says Bob Thompson, it is possible to make up dollar for dollar any subsidy linked to a specific commodity with other forms of support. For example, direct payments or investments in public goods like conservation, rural development, or even agricultural research. Yet Congress has not had the will to make such changes. Politically, Thompson says, even in these times of very high commodity prices, it's unlikely such steps would be taken.
We're getting deeply into this presidential campaign, and across the United States, there is a strong protectionist attitude evolving, anti-globalization, anti-outsourcing, and this is not the time that any politician who wants to get elected or reelected this fall is going to get out in front advocating more liberal international trade or reduction in barriers to trade.
This despite economic principles suggesting U.S. agricultural products would benefit greatly from improved overseas market access. Bob Thompson says the only E-word Washington seems concerned with today is ethanol, and that may be at the expense someday of exports. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
This is Station Manager Jay Pierce. During our Spring Power Hour on April 3rd, we'll challenge listeners to match, in 1 hour, the entire amount of money in our member match fund that we raise between now and then. Please contribute today. Mail your check or give online at willpledge.org.
Time now to take our Monday afternoon look at the agricultural cash markets. Brian Stark of the Andersons joins us today. Hi, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, collectively, I suppose the company's feeling a little easier today than it did on Friday.
I would say that it's feeling greatly easier. Obviously, it never hurts when you have a lot of money in Chicago sustaining hedges to see the market decline just a little bit. Mm-hmm. But overall, perspective for the customer, kind of tough trying to figure out a fundamental direction here in this market when so much outside financial crisis is happening and influencing commodities across the board.
What are your expectations for the basis to do this evening?
Well, I think right now the bids stick out for themselves. I mean, corn were 15-cent protection. Beans were basis only tonight. I think the liquidation that we could further see tomorrow, you just have to be cautious and waiting to see what happens.
And what are producers saying to you when you tell them that?
Well, I think right now producers obviously are frustrated with the direction of the market, but like these things, you know, they have an old saying that says, you know, as you go up in the market, we take the stairs up, and when the market decides to take a decline, we take the elevator down. And I think that's kind of the mode we're in right now, and until the bleeding can stop with the recessionary fears, there really isn't a lot producers can do. Now, fundamentals will come back into play. We've got a huge report in 2 weeks. I would say to be patient, especially on corn. We're still very friendly to the corn market. Beans are more of a wild card. I think they can continue to erode, or we could see potentially higher prices later on. But fundamentals will eventually take hold again. Right now, it's all about the outside financial crisis we're dealing with.
How much, and we've talked about this some, but how much do you think influence has the outside market had in Chicago in terms of cents or dollars on both corn and soybeans? Have you had those discussions?
Well, we've had discussions to that extent. I don't know if I can quantify a magnitude, but I'd step out on a limb and say that corn probably was maybe as much as 75 cents to a dollar generated by the funds in the short term. Momentum to the upside, maybe corn fundamentally was in the 475-ish range. Beans probably in the maybe the $12 range. So maybe you could say it was $3 outside of the market. In fact, in a couple of weeks, we've lost $2.50 yeah. on the nearby option. So I would say a lot of the speculative money that driven prices so much higher than maybe they were fundamentally warranted at the time is starting to leak out. And it's moved very fast. And at some point, you're going to find a buying opportunity that these values are fundamentally warranted, especially when we're looking at a big report here in 2 weeks.
And then when farmers call today, what are you telling them?
Well, the same thing I just said. I think corn, it doesn't feel like, from what we've heard and read, that we're going to see the acres planted. I think 87 million or less is very friendly to the corn market long term. We've seen weather forecasts that are continuing to be cool and wet. So that's not boding for an early start to the corn planting season, although we're still a few weeks away from talking about that. But if we continue those patterns, we're still looking at a delay there. So corn's friendly. Beans, I think probably guys need to be looking at selling a few when they can.
And your bids for the day?
$4.99 for corn. Fall corn would be $5 out of the field. And, again, basis only on soybeans.
Thanks much.
Thank you.
That's Brian Stark. He's with the Andersons. Somebody from that office right here in Champaign County joins us each and every Monday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'll be back in 2 minutes with the agricultural weather. I'm Todd Gleason.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. The chancellor of Southern Illinois University's Carbondale campus has been placed on administrative leave. Details are scarce, but a letter from SIU President Glenn Bouchard says he placed Fernando Trevino on leave after what he called serious concerns brought to his attention by campus and community officials about Trevino's performance. Bouchard says Trevino was told last week of the leave and the Board of Trustees will conduct a review. Carbondale Provost Don Rice is handling day-to-day chancellor's duties in the absence of Trevino, who had only become chancellor last July. Bouchard's office had no further comment. A money manager testified today that he arranged a $50 million deal involving the state teacher's pension fund and agreed to split the finder's fee with Governor Al Blagojevich's father-in-law. But money manager Sheldon Peekin told jurors of political fundraiser Tony Rezko's fraud trial today that Chicago alderman Richard Mell never got the money. Peekin testified that the order to split the fee came from millionaire attorney Stuart Levine, who was Rezko's alleged partner in a massive fraud scheme. Peekin says Levine told him Mell was unhappy because he wasn't seeing any benefit from the fact that his son-in-law was governor. Rezko's charged with scheming with Levine to pressure kickbacks out of firms that wanted to invest money from the state teacher's retirement system. Mell didn't return a message seeking comment. Illinois senior citizens can now hop on trains and buses and ride for free. The free rides on public transit that went into effect Monday were a part of Governor Blagojevich's contentious deal with other state lawmakers to fund Chicago-area mass transit. Illinoisans aged 65 and older qualify for the free rides. The governor's office has said about 1.3 million seniors live in areas with mass transit. A federal grant will help University of Illinois researchers develop a military helmet that can record vital information on a battle-related head injury. The so-called smart helmet could also be used by pilots, fire personnel, and others. A speech and hearing professor says it would be able to help doctors gauge the effect of explosions or other injuries on soldiers almost immediately. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL and WHOW 1520 out of Clinton, Illinois. On the line this afternoon to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather is Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm going to blame you for the cold, wet weather today, and it didn't do me much good to come over and see limit down moves at the Chicago Board of Trade. Can you give me a better weather forecast, please?
I'll tell you what, first and foremost, us meteorologists are simply just the messengers rather than the producers here of the weather. So, I understand since my favorite, I feel your pain, Todd, with the since I prefer 70 degrees at this time of year right now.
Yeah,
too,
after
so,
last week,
but, certainly, yeah, the storm system here, and that's now developing in the middle of the country here, combined with, you know, dragging in some cool air from the north is producing the rainy, cool weather, obviously. And that's going to continue here as we go through tomorrow. In fact, some rainfall totals here are going to be very excessive across parts of the Midwest and into areas of the northern delta. And some areas could see as much as 4, 5, even 6 inches of rain across the southern sections here of the Midwest. So any kind of kind of inklings here of fieldwork preparations here. Obviously, that's a no-go here this week. In fact, could have some flooding issues, at least those areas close by the rivers.
You know, Watseka along the eastern border of Illinois got hit pretty tough not too long ago by flooding. I'm a little bit concerned for them at this time. Well, can you give us maybe a more localized condition set for them over the next couple, 2 or 3 days?
Yeah, well, obviously the further south you go, the heavier your rain. So as you get into really the southern half or so of the state here of Illinois, and even for that matter into Indiana, that is where at least the highest risk of getting those 4, 5, 6 inches. But still, soil moisture is saturated, and even just, you know, 2 to 3 inches could cause some issues here. So it does look like once we get through the next several days, the overall pattern looks becoming apparent, turning a little bit quieter. We're not saying there's going to be an extended stretch of warm, dry weather, but at least it looks like you're going to get out of your big cyclones, or what we call our, you know, storm systems here, and that have become really the focus here in recent weeks here across the Midwest. And so as a result here, at least it looks like somewhat of a less active pattern as we round out the month of March.
Well, still not great news, but at least to the north of Champaign, where Watseka is located on Route 9 as we come across there, close to, I think it's Route 9, coming close to West Lafayette on the Illinois side of the border, of course, they'll be a little better off. Any final word on anything else that we need to discuss? You've got maybe 15 seconds.
Yeah, well, South America continues to have good harvest progress, both in Brazil and Argentina, and across the western areas of the hard red belt there in the plains. This rain event is doing nothing in your driest areas, and that looks to continue.
Mark, we appreciate you being with us today.
My pleasure, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He's with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, joining us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Monday afternoon. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at this time for the Closing Mark Report and listen to WILLAG online at willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.